Hi everyone, it's Judy Warner. Welcome back to the On Track Podcast. Today we have a rare treat for you as we invite in Lawrence Romine, the VP of Marketing for Altium. Today we talk about the release of an exciting new product, Altium Concord Pro. Concord Pro is a library and data management tool that also integrates ECAD-MCAD collaboration in a fresh new way. We also talk about Altium Designer 19.1 and what that includes and what you can expect. So lean and enjoy. I'll see you on the other side. Welcome to Altium's On Track Podcast, where we talk to leaders about PCB design, tackling subjects ranging from schematic capture all the way to the manufacturing floor. I'm your host, Judy Warner. Please listen in every week and subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, and all your favorite podcast apps. And be sure to check out the show notes at altium.com/podcast, where you can find great resources and multiple ways to connect with us on social media. Well, Lawrence, thanks for joining us in the yellow chairs today on the On Track Podcast.
I'm honored.
We're looking forward to catching up with you and sharing you actually with the On Track audience. So why don't we start off by you telling our audience a little bit about your industry background and how you really are one of us in the engineering geeky world.
I think my story is probably not dissimilar to most of our audience. My father was an electrical engineer, and you know, look, if you had asked me when I was 10 years old what I wanted to do, I'm doing it. It was always engineering, and really always wanted to be in the selling or the business end of engineering. And so that's what I've been doing my whole career. Dare I say 20 years now. So started doing design work, but only did that for a couple of years. Did nothing too complex. I was really always also into audio, which is probably also very similar to a lot of our audience. I worked for a company called McCormick Audio, which is kind of still around, but high-end amplifiers for the audiophile market space. But did that for a couple of years and then got into the semiconductor business. I worked for a company here locally that was headquartered local called Insight Electronics. And 95% of what I did was selling and supporting Xilinx, and enjoyed that thoroughly, but really wanted something a little more instant gratification, and I looked for a software position and came to Altium. That's been nearly 15 years now, and really done everything in Altium: sales, applications, partner management, and now the vice president of corporate marketing.
Yeah, that's one thing I really appreciate about Altium is that there are several people in our organization really that have grown with the organization, and I love that the culture, I think, gets preserved in that way, and sort of that love and affinity we have really to stand for that, for the engineer.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'd say, first of all, there's a lot of practitioners, as we say around here. In other words, people that, you know, come from the industry. And then secondarily, to your point, there is a nucleus of people that have been here a long, long time. And that really has served to sort of perpetuate the, what I call the Altium magic. And that's the nimbleness, the sort of passion for what it is we do. And it's definitely served us well. It's absolutely served us well. I mean, there's guys here, that, as you know, Judy, this is the only job they've ever had.
Yep.
Which I think is a testament to, you know, the excitement and passion we have for what it is we're doing.
Right. I mean, someone might look at that and see that as a bad thing. I'm saying from, you know, being here just, what, like 2.5 years, that I see it as a real, really preserver of the spirit of this company, which I love, because the core of our spirit is actually quite good. Well, to your point about being nimble and agile, we are a scrappy bunch around here. Yep. So we are just past the eve of launching a new product called Concord Pro. So I wanted to bring you in today to talk about Concord Pro, what it is, and just clear up any, just bring some clarity around it, really. So why don't you give us a quick...
Just 1 second, G. I wasn't aware that there was a lack of clarity around what Concord Pro was.
Well, let me inform you.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so we will get.
It's an ambush.
We'll get. Yes, it's an ambush. Oh, okay. Yeah, I didn't tell you about that part. No. Why don't you give us a quick thumbnail sketch about what Concord Pro is, and then we'll put you on the spot about the lack of clarity.
Yeah, I'm used to it, Judy. Concord Pro, look, simply, it's our library and component management on-premise solution that works with Altium Designer. And we've added to this the MCAD collaboration capabilities that we brought to market about 3 years ago now, currently supporting SolidWorks, PTC, Creo, and Autodesk Inventor. I mean, it's really that simple. It is really focused on library and component management. It's an on-premise server that you install, and because you have that server there, it just made perfect sense for us to include this MCAD collaboration piece.
Well, I can tell you from talking to designers that the ECAD-MCAD collaboration, I'm excited about that part, as well as the library and data management part. But we are not new to library and data management.
No. Do tell.
So we've had a couple products. We've had the Vault.
Sure.
We've had the Nexus server.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had Nexus.
Sure.
And so I don't know about you, Lawrence, but at least from where I stand, it confuses me. So I can't even imagine how some of our users and customers and the public feel. So this is where I'm going to put you in the hot seat, buddy. So
fire away.
What are the difference between Concord Pro that's now out, Vault, Nexus Server, Nexus?
Yep. Well, maybe we'll back up a bit and start with, I think, where the real sort of ambiguity started when we pivoted Altium Vault to Nexus Server. Effectively, these were the same products. Dare I say they were the same products. It was a rebranding. And back then, which is not too long ago, I think it's been a little bit more than a year, maybe a year and a half that we did that, we were standing up our new channel of business called Nexus. And with that, we felt that really Nexus would become our sort of process portion of the business, right? So those that needed to really have a sort of regulated or gated design process. And that's where Nexus comes in, which we'll come back to. And with that, it made sense that the data management or library management capabilities that Altium Vault brought to the table sort of made sense to consolidate that under the Nexus umbrella.
You're kind of speaking corporate speak a little bit, and I'm thinking about our listeners.
Yep.
So when you say a new channel, can you define that a little bit? I mean, I think we are all intelligent enough to understand channel, but talk about, define a little bit what the Nexus channel is so we can really stay in lockstep with what you're explaining.
Sure. Now. So what Nexus is, Nexus is a solution. It really is a solution. It's not a product. It is a solution. And what that solution is made of are configurable off-the-shelf modules that we configure and deploy on customer premise, on site. Now, there is a unique selling motion to that in how we do assessment and determine what the customer's needs are, what problems they want to resolve. But before we begin deployment, there is an agreement as to what the outcome of that deployment will in fact be. And that's really the distinct difference, whereas without
And this is then more for larger design teams than a more enterprise level, or can this apply to smaller design teams as well?
It's really across the board.
Okay.
And we have some successful implementation. So you can imagine if you have, let's say, a smallish or smaller design team, but you're in, as an example, a medical device industry. They have rigors in process that they need to adhere to. So that's a great example of where the Nexus solution would play, even if it's just a few licenses. So it really, size is really not the factor. It really is what the customer needs around really process.
Okay, I'm with you. All right, so back to Nexus server. So we had Vault.
Yep, we had Vault.
And then we sort of rebranded that product.
That's correct.
As Nexus server.
Yep.
To kind of be part of that channel because?
Well, it seemed to fit with the data management and process theme that we had with Nexus Channel.
Okay.
Okay. We made that name change, and the product continued to sell very well. And we've seen a pretty steady linear growth with those products. However, what we discovered was really there were still some elements in Nexus Server that really didn't fit with the profile of customers that were just in our traditional Altium Designer channel.
Okay, so why don't you identify a couple of those that didn't?
Well, so if we look at, we obviously talk to a lot of customers, we survey our customers, and what we find over, and also you know this, Judy, we talk to some of our partners in the industry, and we hear this day in, day out, and when I was a salesperson, this was always conversation number one, how you managing your libraries.
Yep.
And you always hear, you know, crazy stories, horror stories as well.
Yeah, we've had a couple of those on the podcast, like John Watson deleting
Well,
1,000 libraries.
Well, I'll give you an anecdote from my own career when I was selling Xilinx. Customer, which I won't name, went through a lengthy design process for a military application and had designed in a smaller FPGA, and came time for production, and lo and behold, that the package, not the die, but the package for that particular FPGA had been discontinued, was end of life. Now, military application, long life cycle, gonna be around a long time, and they determined that it was far cheaper or less expensive for them to just do a lifetime buy as opposed to just redesigning for a single component.
Interesting.
And that was about a $2.1 million mistake.
Wow.
Now, I was fine with it, obviously. I was happy to make the sale.
You cashed that, you cashed that check, right?
Sure. So that's just an example of, you know, everybody has a library management, component management need. They have to take into consideration supply chain information, ideally during the design phase. So things like I just mentioned don't happen. And everybody's doing it one way or the other, okay? Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that they want full lifecycle approval capability, as an example, on the components. Mm-hmm. Nor does it mean that they necessarily want to enforce any sort of rigor in the design process itself, okay?
Right.
So gating of approval process, as an example.
Right.
Like who can approve, who can release, who can modify, those sorts of things.
Right.
And so what we've done now here with Concord Pro is remove those elements.
Okay.
Okay, we've removed, so, and most people when I say this, they're not even familiar with the name because they're not using it, which is TC2.
Right.
So TC2 was our team configuration center. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what it did. It allowed you to put some gates and rigor into the team. In other words, you can only use this particular title block. You can only use this schematic or this PCB template. You can only use these output files, those sorts of things. So we removed that. And we also removed the lifecycle approval process on the components themselves within the Concord Pro library.
Okay.
And that's it.
So it's a little less cumbersome, really, or doesn't have those features that really aren't needed.
Well, look, what we find is that the small percentage of the customers were actually taking advantage of them. Also, what we found was for people looking at those products, which were previously Vault and Nexus Server, it was somewhat intimidating to a lot of customers. In other words, they were keen to investigate a library and component management solution, but this felt like it really was not applicable to them.
I see.
And we see this a lot too. We would see it on the forums, we see it publicly, that Vault and Nexus Server were for large companies. And that's just not the case. And so by removing these, it really allowed us to streamline Concord Pro, optimize the UI a bit, and really make it applicable to our real common customer.
Right.
You know, the majority of our users.
Our core customers, yeah. Right. That makes sense. So for those users that may have Vault right now or Nexus Server, what happens to those as we roll out Concord Pro?
Well, as long as they're current subscribers of those products, then it's a free move, and it's a pretty painless move. So let's say you're not using TC2, you're not using the lifecycle approval process, just update your existing product, and it becomes Concord Pro, and you go on about your business.
So it's really sort of seamless, really, to go jump from that, and all your libraries are moved over. It's not like
no, there's no data
a big
migration.
Migration.
You just install it over the top.
Okay.
For those customers that are using those capabilities, TC2 and mm-hmm. lifecycle approval, mm-hmm. just keep doing what you're doing. Those products still maintain, bug fixes, etc.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about that. So what is
But let me add one thing. That we no longer sell those products, however.
Okay, yeah. So that was kind of where I was going. So those, but will we maintain those products?
Yes.
Right, mm-hmm. But we're not going to be adding features to them.
That's correct.
So, but Concord, we will be adding features too.
That's correct.
Okay, that makes sense. One of the things that I think as I talk to designers and particularly students that I'd like to hear more about, and I think our listeners would, is about the ECAD, MCAD integration mm-hmm. and, you know, sort of what's the nuts and bolts and how that works and why is that different from maybe some other things we've done in the past?
Well, we've obviously been innovators in this space for some time. You know, I was around when we released, we put 3D in our environment. And, you know, there's an interesting stories there as well. But I was a salesperson at the time. And I remember there was confusion then as well. Like, you know, what the heck is this? Why would you do this? And we even had some customers and actually some competitors say that it was a gimmick. That it was, you know, 3D, it just looks cool. It's not, you know,
right.
What can we do with this? Obviously was revolutionary and it was duplicated pretty heavily throughout the industry. And it was mm-hmm. a real competitive advantage for us for some time, but that was still really a snapshot proposition. Mm-hmm. Now you could certainly design in 3D and there's huge value in doing that. But as far as the exchange of information between your, in this case, Altium designer user and your mechanical designers, it was still just a snapshot.
Right.
Right. And what we do within the context of Concord Pro, Altium Concord Pro, is it is a bi-directional push-pull arrangement with Concord Pro as the intermediary. So you can make changes in one environment or the other, and those the genesis of those designs can start in one domain or the other and push those changes into the other environment. The user on the other end then gets a list of proposed changes. They can click through those changes and get a preview of those changes in 3D as well. It's animated, it's really quite nice looking, and choose to accept or decline those changes mm-hmm. and iterate, and do this natively in each other's environments. So the MCAD person works in their environment, Altium designer user in their environment, and just real-time bi-directional push-pull.
Which I think is a game changer as far as the fluidity of the design process. You know, I've talked to people who have design teams all over the world, right? And their mechanical might be in another country.
Sure.
Right, and to have that kind of integration and not sort of this clunky way of mm-hmm. exchanging step files or...
Well, what I say is, you know, engineers are engineers, right? So they're paid to design. And so sort of tongue in cheek, what I always say is, it's, you know, as soon as an engineer emails a file, it's no longer the most recent version of the file because they're going to continue to design.
Right.
And this is where we find really people getting into trouble. And sometimes there's subtleties there. I can tell you, I had an experience with a customer here locally that it was just the rib in their injection molded enclosure mm-hmm. that they didn't account for.
Oh my.
And high profile capacitors interfered, causing a redesign.
Yeah.
So, you know, these are the type of things that you would see in real time through real time interaction with between those two parties.
And that coupled with 3D, where you can see those collisions
yep.
in real time, collaboratively. Anyways, I'm very excited about it because I hear a lot about it from our users. Dare we talk about price?
Oh, sure. We're not hiding it. As a matter of fact, it's published on the new Concord Pro webpage.
Okay, so the Concord Pro webpage is live?
It's live, yeah.
Okay, so I'll make sure to share that yep. in the show notes.
And the price and is unchanged.
There's, okay.
Unchanged, yeah.
Unchanged. Okay.
And, I'm not going to quote a price here because we have local currencies, obviously.
Right, of course.
But it is published, and those that are using Vault and, or I should say, Nexus Server, the price is unchanged. It's sold in the exact same way and the exact same price.
Another thing I think I will share in the show notes here is the podcast I did with John Watson, where he talked extensively about Nexus, Nexus Server, and the value to his team where there's 50 designers. So I think I'll share that here to shed some more light and depth on that. Is there anything else relative to these products and the pivot we're making towards Concord Pro that I should be asking you about?
No, I think that's it. As I said, there's some misconceptions with all these products that they, as we've already really kind of lightly discussed it, that these are for large customers and those with multiple, you know, heavy numbers of users and that sort of, and that's just not the case.
Well, Ben Jordan and I also did a podcast that actually came up on the forum. Mm-hmm. Someone on the forum, on the Altium forum, said, if there's just one or two E's on the team designing boards, do I really need data management? And we sort of went into depth, like, yeah, there's good reason to have that. So,
well, I think the anecdote that I shared with you about that local company that spent $2.1 million on a lifetime buy on a new design,
right,
which is, you know, obviously frustrating for them. I would say this, which is overwhelmingly what you see engineers creating and PCB designers creating, they call it a bill of materials. But it's not really a bill of materials yet. It's really a parts list.
Right.
Okay. And this is really what I believe that Concord Pro brings to the table, is it allows engineers and designers to create a manufacturable bill of materials as they go. And, you know, my experience was, as a designer, that I would create my parts list, and I would do that based upon my, obviously, experience or whatever I had in the file folders I scrolled away on my desktop, or combing through previous design work and cutting and pasting that information. Oh, I know this component to work. Slapping that into the new design, generating really kind of an Excel file, and then handing that to a buyer. And then 3-week process to create a second source for some of the components. Is it approved vendor? What's the lead time? That sort of thing. That, I think, is really why this applies to everybody. Because everybody, ultimately, for the most part, needs to create a manufacturable bill of materials.
Right.
And by using Concord Pro, you can do that. That is really, really the point.
Well, and I can tell you from being on the other side of that equation, working for a CM, getting those not scrubbed bombs or whatever, and the time that it takes is enormous. So I think that's a really good point. So since I have you here, moving beyond Concord Pro, and again, for our listeners, we'll be sure to share many things relative to Concord Pro, the website. There's some links up where David Haboud goes through sort of click-by-click tutorials, so you can really get a sense of it. And I think we have a 30-day free evaluation up, if I'm correct.
And, just if you went to the Concord Pro webpage, which is accessible right from the product navigation on the top tool or the top menu bar, that there is a button there to request an evaluation.
Right.
So by all means, give it a go.
Okay. Thanks so much, Lawrence. So before I let you go, I wanted to ask you again, since I have you and you're a busy man and I don't always get to pick your brain in front of our listeners, is what's on the horizon for Altium? Where are we going over the next year? Is there anything you can share with us that might be intriguing to our users?
Well, you know, certainly we want to continue our aggressive growth, and, you know, put the capabilities into the product that our users are requesting. We released 19.1. Actually, we're in the process of doing that as we speak, and really trying to put a significant amount of focus on that engagement with the customer. And that's sort of across the board, really wherever our customers congregate, right? So this is obviously our forums, public forums, events, that sort of stuff. But also really making significant investments into the stability and performance of the products.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there, it's always a bit of a tightrope that you walk when you say you want to add the glitz, but it's also very important that we, you know, we really listen to the customers and address the things that they're telling us, because it's great to grow, but it's also more important to, you know, retain those customers and make sure that they're happy and make sure their voices are heard. And really take ownership for the users to have an ownership stake in these products. As we know, you know, it can be emotional for these users, right? Some of these.
Well, hello. I mean, they're in front of this tool,
yeah, exactly,
8 hours a day or more.
Exactly.
I'd be emotional too. So would you.
Exactly. So, you know, look, we've really taken it on us, and you know this, Judy. You're a big part of this strategy, which is to really engage the users and give them a voice, give them an ownership stake in the product, and really give them the things that they need, want, and desire, while also looking to the future for the next 3D, as an example.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I think the stability aspect that we're looking hard at, mm-hmm, in 19.1 and moving towards 20, you're right that the voice of the users have said, stop giving us.
Yeah.
Well, we want all those goodies,
yeah,
but please stabilize.
Yeah.
You know, before you keep adding these sexy,
yeah,
you know, features in.
Sure.
So I think that'll be music to.
Sure.
To our users' ears to hear that we're taking a hard look at stability, and not that it's an unstable tool.
Sure.
It's just that really, you know, locking things down and making them really bulletproof.
Well, you know, look, Judy, you and I are in marketing, and for my money, perception is reality.
Right.
And that's unique to each individual from,
mm-hmm,
their perspective.
That's right.
And so, look, we're happy to do it. You know, our users are our lifeblood. And I actually was talking to a customer a couple of days ago. He sent a nice text message following our conversation. My response, at the risk of sounding a bit sort of cheesy, but I do mean this. I say, you know, well, thank you very much, because without, you know, guys like you, users like you, we really wouldn't have anything here.
Right.
And so we just need to put our money where our mouth is and, you know, walk the walk.
Speaking of putting your money where your mouth is, I'm going to put you on the spot,
sure,
again, but I think it's a good thing to talk about. You know, there's been lots of conversations online and in person, people talking about bug crunch. Can you just touch lightly on some initiatives that I know that we're doing to sort of raise our game,
sure,
a little bit on bug crunch?
Well, look, this talks about, this is sort of going down that path of perception, right? So we do absolutely listen to bug crunch. As a matter of fact, with 19.1 that you'll see here in the coming days, we're actually going to be highlighting when we do a bug fix, how many votes that particular bug received, because,
mm-hmm,
we do prioritize our bug fixing,
mm-hmm,
based upon the
number
user community,
votes,
the number,
right,
of votes. I mean, pretty meritocracy, right?
Right.
Or democracy, I should say, in that regard. And we use that to prioritize. The problem we have, I think, with bug crunch is sort of twofold. Firstly, I'd say the engagement, I don't think, is up to par. In other words, I don't think we do a good job right now of sort of dynamically responding to customers there,
right,
in a bi-directional way.
Right.
Even though we are actually paying attention.
Yes.
So the sort of presentation of that also, I think, ties into it.
Mm-hmm.
The maintenance of that sort of interface where you,
right,
engage on it. And then the second part of it, actually, I've lost my train of thought now, Judy.
No, well, I'm gonna insert here that,
yeah,
that in my engagement with Altium users is that we have the bug crunch. And I think to your point of perception being reality,
yeah,
people, I would call it the pitchforks.
Yeah.
And the torches,
yeah,
you know,
sure,
they get,
yeah,
angry because they feel we aren't listening to them. But I know from working here,
yeah,
that our developers here in La Jolla,
yeah,
they're looking at those every single day,
yep,
and they're addressing a large number of bugs. But we never say,
yep,
hey, got your bug.
Yep.
Thanks. This one's being voted,
yep,
up. So that bi-directional thing is,
well,
there.
And that's the second piece of it that you've jogged
you
my
back
memory.
On.
You put me right back on track. No pun intended. and that's the second piece of it, which is, and there's, I think it's twofold, which is just sometimes acknowledging the customer's frustration
right.
goes a long way.
Right.
And we have not done our best efforts in that regard. And as you know, Judy, you're a huge part of, as the director of community engagement, you know what's happening behind the scenes. And the second piece of it is, and perhaps some of it's predicated by the first bullet, which is the participation in Bug Crunch is not overwhelming when we consider how many subscribers and
right.
users that we have.
Right.
So we also need to market that as well.
Right.
We need to show this as a, hey, this is your opportunity to have a voice and give people, and then back that up with our engagement
right.
to really make the most out of that.
I really love that. And I'll tell you what, there's a little mini trend I'm noticing, mm-hmm. which I really dig is, there is our largest Altium user group that I'm aware of mm-hmm. is in Salt Lake City, Utah.
Yep.
Kelly Wigginton.
Kelly, yeah.
Thanks, Kelly. We love you, buddy. So when I let them know that they were the largest group that I'm aware of, mm-hmm. he ran with that and he said, okay. So they start emailing each other when they notice a bug in their group. They vote collectively.
Yeah.
And because there's about 80 to 100 people.
Yep.
And so they use the power of their Altium users group.
Sure.
To get their bugs, you know,
yep.
put to the top of the thing. And so I'm copied on those emails. And so I think that's really a good way for users to collectively assert their voice. And we really do want that.
Yep.
Like you said, we haven't always done a great job of communicating that. Mm-hmm. But I love that we're getting better, Lawrence. And I love that you're sort of driving forward mm-hmm. These initiatives. And I think it's a really exciting time. So thank you for doing that. Before I let you go, you said earlier that you've been here for how many years now?
Oh, I think it's pushing 15 now.
15 now. Yeah. So you're a talented guy. You could be other places in the world. So mm-hmm. I want to ask you two questions.
Yep.
I want to ask you, in your mind, mm-hmm. The culture we talked about earlier, what does Altium stand for? And the second part of that question is, what keeps you here personally?
Yeah, I don't even have to think about that. And I'll maybe address the second one because I think it is that sort of answers your first part.
Okay.
Right, which is why am I here? Well, I'm still here and I do get that question quite a bit because it is a long time, particularly in 2019 where people stay a couple of years and they take
right.
the next great offer.
Right.
But as I said, I chose this career path specifically.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wanted to be in engineering and I wanted to be in the business element of it. And that, when you say business, it really means sales and marketing. And look, as a sales and marketing professional, your job is really to sort of tell a narrative, right? And tell a story to your customers and get them excited about that story and to buy into it. And the reality is, and as you know, Judy, I did leave at one point, and I came back. And the reason I came back was because as a storyteller for a profession, this is a hell of a story.
It's a great story.
You know, and I just know that if I engage with an individual, an organization, and they like my story, and they like the Altium story, and they buy into it, literally and figuratively, they're better off at the end of that process. And that's you can get excited about that.
That is with the assumption that we put out a solid product,
well, of course.
Which we do.
Yeah, of course.
But to your point is Altium has a great why.
Yeah.
To talk to Simon Sinek, you know, the power of why.
Yeah.
My perception, I think it's beyond a perception. My experience here is that Altium has a great why.
We do, and if you look at where we are, I think, contrasted with other organizations, it's this, you know, we really do focus on the user first.
Yeah.
You know, our salespeople talk almost exclusively to the users.
Right.
And that's really unique
right.
here at Altium. And
right.
it's really been an advantage for us, as opposed to creating sort of these top-down solutions.
Right.
You know, we engage an organization bottom-up.
Bottom-up.
And
which really puts us in that, I think of it as like the David and Goliath story a little bit. It seemed counterintuitive, but it's working out really well.
Yeah.
And you know, as far as the FICOs, we're doing pretty well these days, right?
Yeah. No, it is, you know, for the uninitiated, you know, if you're a sales or a business professional coming in and looking at Altium, it really is counter to all traditional business, mm-hmm. where the classic, you go to a sales training or a business course and, you know, they train, you must get deeper and wider into the organization.
Right.
And that's really code speak for get to the decision maker.
Right, but, go to the top.
Right, but we believe, and look, we're obviously have success with this approach, was, you know, for us, the decision maker is in fact the user.
Right. That uses it every day.
That uses it every single day, absolutely.
And is immersed in it, so. Mm-hmm. Well, thanks for sharing that. I had a sense that that's what you would say. And for those of you that are listening today, Lawrence is actually my boss. And so...
Well, I don't know about that, Judy. I sometimes think you might be my boss.
Well, I let him think he's my boss on paper. No, we're good collaborators. But Lawrence empowers me here to do things like the OnTrack podcast, the OnTrack newsletter, and actually give just good information, right, to empower those users that we're talking about. So I really appreciate that value. So I just wanted to say that out loud, that I really appreciate that the management here, Lawrence being the first in line, that allows me the privilege to give back to designers that I've had the privilege of serving in a sales and marketing roles for over 25 years. So thanks for that. Thanks for clearing up the Concord Pro story. I will make sure to share all those links as promised. Thank you again for joining. Thank you, Lawrence, for joining. I hope you'll come back again. This was fun.
I absolutely will. Thank you, Judy.
All right, great. So thanks again for joining us today. We hope you enjoyed today's podcast. Join us next time. Until then, remember to always stay on track.